Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to Returning Home. I'm your host, Natalie Sapinski, speaking to you live from my home in Susia in the Hebron Hills. Today is June 17th. I cannot believe it's already almost the end of June. This is the greatest time of year. First of all, I want to just say I'm so grateful to be on the show today. We've had a power outage in Susia for the past 2 hours, and this is something that's not so unusual. We had water outages this week also. They're working on a pipe. They had to tear up a road. And these are small inconveniences we get used to now and then. A friend of mine was telling me how beautiful where she lives is. She lives in Boca Raton, Florida, and how it's so manicured. It's so beautiful. But she said, but it lacks something, Natalie. You know, where you live, yeah, maybe the roads aren't finished. And, you know, sometimes the electricity doesn't work, but you have Kedusha. I loved that. But this time of year is very special. As many of you know, I'm the lifeguard at the pool. And right now, a lot of the end of the year parties are going on. And the area high schools are having their class parties at the pool, and they rent it out. And the high school for girls in Kiryat Arba has been coming this past week. Every day they rent it. And these girls are so full of life. And they're teenagers. And they're dancing around the pool. Most of them, most of their time at the pool is not in the water, okay? They're standing on the edge in a line, posing for the camera, and doing a line dance. It's so cute. And I find myself, and I don't even know how to explain this, and I hope someone listening is some kind of psychologist and maybe can explain to me why this happens to me every year. But I get, I tear up. I get upset. And I don't know if it's that I am jealous that I didn't have a childhood like this, or I'm upset that these girls are so lucky and they can act so free and so girlish. I don't know, but it is, I do love it. Something about they're so, they're girlish, and I don't remember being like that at the age of a teenager. And I don't remember seeing anyone in my life act like this. They're so girlish. For example, I'll give you an example. They're all covered up. They all wear t-shirts and shorts. Nobody wears a bathing suit completely, just a bathing suit. Okay? So they're very modest. And the coolest girls are dressed like this. The t-shirts and shorts.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Returning Home. I'm your host, Natalie Sapinski. I got cut off. I got a little involved in my story. And let me just continue it quickly before we bring on our first guest. The girls here, the religious lifestyle, the Dati Lumi, okay, it's called National Religious. Our girls who go to school and they're raised here, they are the ones that I'm talking about from this high school. And the atmosphere and the education and the culture of growing up in a lifestyle and education with just girls, what I see is it is extremely freeing and healthy. And I know because I didn't have that kind of childhood. When I was 15, 16, our lives were dictated by boys. You know, smoking, drinking, and boys. Who's the most popular? Because who has a boyfriend, or who's the most popular because they're smoking and drinking? That's the secular and I guess popular culture in a secular world. But in the religious world, and this is not the, you know, ultra orthodox, this is just national religious here, which is like what a lot of us are. These girls are so happy, and they don't have any of those hangups. Here's a great example. Okay, they're constantly playing music, they're constantly dancing to you know, almost like rap, these kind of songs, real modern, real hot, you know, hot, you know, the top 40. And all of a sudden, someone has this great idea to play nursery rhymes. So I see them on the side of the pool, on the sidewalk, on the deck, building a bridge with their arms, two girls, and then all the other girls to a nursery rhyme song, okay? Going through under the bridge like you do almost like at a wedding, holding hands. Like, it was very, it was beautiful. It was childlike. And what does it say? It says these girls are children, and they're happy, and they're allowed to express themselves. I loved it. I loved it, and I love that they don't have that same kind of the awareness of being shy or being embarrassed or worrying about boys or their bodies. You know, they're all kinds of bodies, you know, fat, thin, tall, short, all kinds of girls, but they all are girls and children and free and happy. And I loved it. I loved it. I don't know a better way to explain it, but I do notice it. And it is a beautiful part about being here and living this religious lifestyle. And I guess it happens also anywhere you live, but I didn't have that growing up, and it's a beautiful thing to see. All right. We have our first guest, Nechama Greenfield, who made Aliyah, I think only like a week ago. And we've been speaking to her. She was from Phoenix, moved to Ashkelon. She had two sons here already. She came with her husband and her dog. And this is our first time speaking since she has landed on our side of the ocean, home here in Israel. And I want to welcome you to the show, Nechama, and welcome you home.
Thank you.
Oh, you sound close. I love it.
I had trouble hearing you.
Okay. Is this any better?
That's better. Thank you.
Wonderful. So I want to hear about, you know, we'll start anywhere you want to start. I mean, you could even tell us what the flight was like, but, you know, tell me how you're settling in and what it's been like so far. Tell me what, you know, how many days have you been here?
This is our first week. So today is day 6.
Okay. So you got here on a Friday, I guess.
We got in very late Thursday night.
Okay. All right.
So we're finishing out our first week, and everything at the airport was fine. We got off the plane. They took care of everything. We had a security person who pretty much took us, I guess, each family separately.
Wait, slow down. Each family. How many families made Aliyah from your flight?
On my flight, 2 people, myself and my husband. Oh, and the dog, of course.
Oh, so what are you talking about, security taking each family?
Well, there was another flight that came in right after us. And that group with us all met in a room. They gave us some snacks. They gave us our papers. They give you a little bit of money. They give you a little SIM card for your phone. That's good for the first 30 days or 3 months. I don't know. We didn't use it. And basically say, there you go.
Okay.
Correct. Then we follow everybody to do what we all do, where we go to get our suitcases. Ours were in a different location because we were on a different flight. So we actually had a security advisor that stayed with us from the time then on. She helped us get our suitcases. She helped us get our PCR taken care of. And she helped us exit the airport through a different way than most people would normally exit, so that they made sure we got into our cab or whatever you want to call it. It's not a cheroot. It's a cab. And you go directly home. There's no ifs, ands, or buts, no stopping. So that's what we did. And the next morning, we were scheduled to have a PCR done. I'm sorry, to have our serology test done at our Airbnb. And they were supposed to come between 8 and 9 a.m. And by 3 o'clock, we were getting kind of anxious. And all of a sudden, at 3:30, it's Erev Shabbos. In walks two guys. One guy who's the phlebotomist, and the other person is holding a bouquet of flowers, throws them on the dining room table, and gives my husband a huge hug. It's my nephew.
Okay.
He knew we were going to be here, and he is allowed to see us because we're still in Bidud.
You didn't say any of this, and I didn't know.
Everybody's in Bidud until you're done with all this.
So Bidud is quarantine. So you're alone in your apartment for what, 10 days?
No, we didn't have to do 10 days. So we did the serology test. And because it's Erev Shabbos, we knew we would have to be alone in the apartment for Shabbos. We had friends who dropped off food for us, left it at the door. We're done. We have more than enough food than we need. And then what we didn't know is, because Nefesh B'Nefesh, I guess, seemed to think that we had to fill out all kinds of forms and send it to the Ministry of Health. No, you just have to do STAR. I think it's 8990 or 5400. I forget what it is. Whatever the Ministry of Health is, you give them your passport number and they tell you you're free. And then 5 minutes later, they send you a text message and you're free.
Okay.
And that's it. Okay. Now you have your letter that proves that you are no longer in quarantine. We didn't know this, so we had an extra day. But when friends and family heard what's going on, they said, no, that's not what we do here in Israel. So whatever. That's, you ask for the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's the good and the bad. Thank God for friends and family. No, do not wait and fill out some kind of crazy form. So basically, we're like every day doing one little thing.
Okay.
We took a bus from Ashkelon to Yerushalayim.
Okay.
We took buses around town here. We walked around town here. It's really beautiful. It's very peaceful, very nice. We even got to see the apartment that we rented sight unseen, which was a very, very big mistake. Don't do that.
Okay, yeah, slow down a bit because, yeah, I just want to get a handle of what your situation really is. You're in Ashkelon at an Airbnb, and you rent, you for how many, for how long?
Oh, that's for 4 weeks.
For 4 weeks. And you found an apartment to rent?
Correct. Online. With a realtor.
Okay,
with a realtor.
Go on. So let's hear that.
Well, so we kind of did it sight unseen, you know, a picture here and there. It's not exactly what I would recommend to anyone in the future or what would have been the best for us, but it's fine. You know, you got to kind of go with the flow. But what we didn't know is the way it works in Israel is you talk to a realtor and they only know that little bit that comes out of their little office. They don't even share with other offices by the same company. So they don't have like multiple listings like we do in the United States and in Canada. So we learned something. Do everything on Yad 2. Yad 2 has everything. It translates.
Slow down a second because I'm not sure really what you're talking about when you say
how to
do
find
everything.
An apartment. Even if you're overseas, the best way to find an apartment is to go on Yad 2.
Okay, so that's a website. Okay, for those of you who don't know, Yad 2. Right. Not everybody has that inkling of looking through listings, because that's really what it is. It's looking through listings.
Correct.
Some people want to depend. Look, you know, Nechama, some people do it the old-fashioned way, just like I still use a travel agent. Some people want to use
and that's
a person.
Fine, too. I mean, the reality is we're still in unusual times, because it's not like we can get off a plane and go stay with mishpacha, stay with family for a couple of weeks until we can find a place to live. If we had that, it would be one thing. But because we had to go into quarantine, you can't do that. So you feel kind of pressured. So
yeah,
that's
no.
Why we...
But not at all, because what you did was a great solution. You rented Airbnb. That's not pressure. That's the opposite of pressure.
Still, no, but it's still pressure because you're at the Airbnb, your Lyft is coming, and where are you going to go after the Airbnb?
Uh-huh.
When all your stuff comes. So, no, really, it is a bit stressful. I do think that in the next few months, things will ease off, and it will be much easier for people making Aliyah. But in the meantime, you know what? We're okay. We're going with the flow. Fine. So I do not have a Tuda Zuhut yet. I know my number on my Tuda Olet. It says my Tuda Zuhut number.
All right, let me just translate.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Shalom, I'm Leah Aharoni. Join me on my show, News from the Torah. Each Sunday, we'll use the weekly Torah portion as a prism for understanding the news today. Listen to News from the Torah to gain clarity about the times we're living in and to understand your own spiritual path in the process. News from the Torah, every Sunday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Returning Home. I'm your host, Natalie Sapinski. We're continuing our talk with Nechama Greenfield, who just came off the boat 6 days ago from Teaneck, New Jersey, and is in Ashkelon. We're going to just continue because we got cut off. She has so much to say, and it's so great to talk to someone, you know, fresh like this. So, Nechama, we were talking off the air, and what were you telling me? Pace yourself, something like that, yes?
Yeah, what we've been told by many people and we see is treat yourself like you're on vacation. Take every day one little thing that you're going to do and get it done. And if it doesn't get it done, do it the next day. You have to have a lot of patience. It is a new country, a new culture, a new language. And, I mean, that's just reality. This takes time. So, you know the old story, smell the flowers. So for me, it's watching the sun go down. It's beautiful.
Right.
And we're home. We're home.
Right,
and our sons are here.
Right. Yeah. That's good. Do one thing at a time. One day at a time. Take one day
at a time.
You're right. You're right. And you said something else. You keep repeating this, and I think it's very good advice. Go with it. Go with it. And you know, don't focus on the things you have to do. Right?
Just
go.
One thing each day or one thing every other day. It's not going to happen in one day.
So tell me, do you have like, when you say things like that, one thing, things you need to do, do you have a checklist?
Do I have a what?
A list, a checklist of things you need to do?
It's my calendar. And thank God for my calendar. Everything is listed on there.
Okay,
car rental, cell phones, you name it. Everything that needed to be done is there. Everything that needs to be done. Appointment at Bituach Lumi, appointment at Mizrad HaPenim. All of those are in my calendar, ready to go. And I knew what I needed to do.
All right, let me translate. Right. Now, Bituach Lumi, for everyone listening, is national insurance. The other one, I don't remember what you said, but there are... These are bureaucratic issues that you do when you move here. That does not exist, I guess, if you move from state to state or from city to city so much, because you keep your bank and you keep your health insurance and other things. But here you got to do it all new and in Hebrew. That's what you got to tackle these next.
So when when you said the bad, the interesting thing of the bad, not everything, but for some things, if you make phone calls, you have to press a certain number. And the initial comment will be in English, and then everything else switches back to Hebrew. So my comment is, have a friend or family member with you for all of that.
Right. Now, I want to clarify, because I know exactly what you mean, but I want to make sure our listeners do. When you make phone calls in Israel to a bank or a health clinic, anything official, any government ministry, the menu options are, there are four languages here. It's first one for Hebrew, and it's all in Hebrew, by the way. They greet you in Hebrew. The voice is in Hebrew. Press one for Hebrew, two for Arabic, three for Russian, four for English, right? If you push four, you will get someone who speaks Hebrew. You will not get an English speaker. It's a joke. It's like ridiculous.
Correct.
Yeah. So like Nechama is saying, great advice, Nechama. Have someone do this stuff for you. Yeah.
Have somebody there to help you. Don't expect to do it yourself. Right. And then you'll be fine.
Right. Right. A child, a Hebrew speaker. I still have my kids do this for me. I understand it. I just don't have the patience. I don't. And sometimes then not only the initial comment is in Hebrew, but all the other things you need to do. You need to, follow another menu, right?
Correct.
That's crazy.
Oh, that's exactly what happens.
They ask you for information. Yeah. That will happen the rest of your life and the rest of my life. And right. That's bureaucracy. That's being an immigrant. It's being a foreigner. And
fine.
We can do it. How about things like, shopping and spending, your day meeting friends or social. Okay.
We have. So our boys have been spending some time with us and, family coming and going. And we've met some people in the neighborhood who have been incredibly lovely. And it's just been really fine. I mean, again, we're only a few days out of quarantine, but everybody has been helpful. The bus drivers have been so nice. We got our Rav-Kav cards. I had one. My husband did not. We put MoveIt on our phone. All of these.
Okay, now all this, but Nechama, you have a big, big advantage. You have children here.
My bigger advantage is that my husband is fluent. He's a Tosafot.
My husband
grew up half of his life in America and half of his life in Israel. He made Aliyah at 15. He was in school here. He was in army here. He was in university here. So it is a tremendous help because I feel I would be utterly lost without him.
Okay. That's, that puts an interesting spin on it.
So that's why I say, you got to have a neighbor or a friend, somebody, a real buddy who's going to walk you through all these things. You cannot do this yourself.
That's right. That's right. And you shouldn't even try because
don't try. Don't try.
It's
hard enough as it is.
Okay, well, you're lucky. You got a good one. It's a great advantage to have a native with you.
Absolutely.
Yofi. Okay, so what do you plan for Shabbat? How does that look now? Just the two of you, your sons come home. You're making this, our Airbnb, like a little vacation, right?
Correct. So this Shabbat, Friday night, our boys will be here with us, and I'm making food that they like. And it's hilarious. My son even brought his favorite pot. And for lunch, we're invited out to somebody's house, and the boys are going somewhere else. It's all, like, perfect.
Okay, how do these people find you?
Oh, so because we moved to Ashkelon, there's a group called Ashkelon 123, and they have incredible marketing skills. They're just amazing. They have a website, they have a WhatsApp group, and everybody seems to be helping everybody else. So any questions, anything, pose it to the group and they'll help you out.
Yeah, that's very smart. It's very good. I remember you mentioning that before. Ashkelon doesn't have such a big Anglo community either. So because it's small, it's very warm, right?
They're very tight. They're very warm. Incredible.
Good
people. Every person we've met so far has been above and beyond incredible.
Okay. I have a question for you. You mentioned earlier that you don't recommend going through a realtor. You didn't explain why. You don't have to explain why. What's wrong with the apartment? We also got a story from another woman who said she came here, also rented a house, got to the house, not what she thought, had to find another one. What aside from going and looking yourself on a website, you're saying Yad Shnia would be better. But, you know, Nechama, when you're not here,
That's the first thing.
Right.
So our very dear friends are making Aliyah from Seattle, and here was my recommendation to them. Come. Pretty soon, everything will be opened up. Come. Go to an Airbnb. Find yourself a nice apartment you want to rent. Rent the apartment. Go home, back to wherever you came from. Send your Lyft. Get on the plane and make Aliyah, and then you know you have a place to go to. That's my recommendation.
Okay, that's not going to work for families with, it's not going to work for people who have big families.
It's not going to work for a lot of people.
It's not going to work for a lot of people. It's expensive to move back and forth.
Correct.
But it's
ideal way. The other option is to just go with the flow.
Right.
And that's the Israeli way. So with us, it's not exactly what we want, where we want, how we want, but it's okay.
It's okay anyway.
I'm not buying, I'm renting.
Right. That's the advice, though. That's the advice, Nechama. When you come, rent a place. Find a place online with a realtor or otherwise and rent your first home. That's your advice. And that's very important. And I tell people that all the time because you don't have, you know, it's just too much pressure to buy a home forever.
No, don't
that's
do
ridiculous.
That.
Yeah. I mean,
no.
You know, unless it's your sister and your brother and your community and you totally are going to rely on them anyway, fine. You know, fine.
Even then, the home would be yours. I think the best thing to do is whatever you do decide to do, whether it's perfect or not perfect, to just relax and let it be what it is because nothing's permanent. It's fine.
Right. Even Israelis move a lot. It's surprising when you see that. We've had people in Susia. I've been here 15 years. And every year a family leaves, a good family. And I'm like, why are they leaving? And and they've already built their home. You know, they've added rooms. They've done all this. I'm like, what? Are they crazy? But Israelis just, you know, they don't have that fear. They don't have that they don't plan much. And they live for today. And I love it. I love it. And all Americans, you know, maybe just us. I don't know. Maybe we didn't have that growing up, but it's a very nice, light way of looking at life.
Correct. I agree so much.
Yeah.
No, they're not married to their home.
Right.
They're married to their spouse.
Right. Their families. Yeah. They take them with them wherever they go, either a desert or the mountains, and it's great. They're up for the adventure, and you see that in the world. You know, Israelis travel all over. It's a beautiful thing. It's a great energy they have. And when you're here, you get swept up in it. You know, you do. Well, Yofi, Nechama, thank you for joining us. We're out of time. It's been a pleasure, and it's very exciting.
And wow.
You know, one foot in front of the other. Keep it up. Kol kavod lach.
That's the way to do it.
Nechon.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Returning Home. I'm your host, Natalie Sapinski. We are just wrapping up here with our new Ole, Nechama. And now we have waiting to speak with us an immigrant who has been here for a long time, it seemingly. Aliza Bracha from the Philadelphia area moved to Pardes Chana. And we've had her on a few times these past few weeks. I think she's probably been here 3 months by now. And we always like to hear what she's up to. She is a busy, busy one. Aliza, are you with us?
I am with you.
Yofi, welcome. Welcome to the show. Nice to talk to you. How long have you been here now? Like 3 months? 4 months?
Yeah, we're counting days. We are up to 109 days.
Okay, very cool. Very nice. Yeah, I never did that. Yeah. That's like what people do in jail, but okay, do it here. That's great. Tell me, you know, I see you're busy. You're very productive. I see your Facebook posts. I follow you. You're like a dating coach, right? And you're like all over the place. Busy. And that's very cool. Very cool. What is the rest of your family? You're settled in, I mean, professionally, but the rest of your family, I guess they're taking their time. You know, your children, their Hebrew isn't like where you want it to be. Tell me the struggles you're going through with that.
Right. So our kids are in schools and they're Israeli schools. And most of the kids in the class don't speak English. One of our kids has a few English speakers, you know, 3 or 4. And he's thrilled because if he doesn't understand or if something's going on or at recess, he can definitely connect and talk to them. But the other two kids are in really completely Hebrew-speaking classes with Hebrew-speaking teachers. And in the beginning, they were coming home and they were just, look at me like I don't understand anything, you know, like I'm sitting there and I'm in class, but I don't know what to do. And I think also they had a lot of energy and, you know, they couldn't get all of that out. They could play. Or
yeah.
Like, you know, you want to do talking energy. So then they would come home and talk a mile a minute.
Right.
So it's been frustrating, but I noticed they're coming home and I reward them when they speak in Hebrew at home, when we use phrases and different things, whether it's cleaning the table or setting the table or picking something up or putting it away. And we're trying to use things and motivate them. And I'm shocked at how much they don't realize that they actually know. And then sometimes I've heard them playing with each other and one of them will go, yay. Like he's
right,
really excited.
Right,
like,
right,
yes.
Right.
And he doesn't exactly know what it means or how. But
it doesn't matter. They're
the
imitating.
Word.
They're so learning. This is so funny. I'm listening. I'm dying here because you are like learning Hebrew together, and it's bizarre to me. It's good. It's good, but it's so funny that I'll give you just a contrast, if you don't mind. When our children were in kindergarten here in Ghana. And we were considered foreign, you know, immigrants. And we'd been here 2 years already. The Ganenets said to us, you need to enter Hebrew into your home. And they gave me like a CD. And I said to them, no, I don't. That is your job. And my children speak fluent Hebrew, okay?
And you didn't enter it into the home at all? You just let it go?
Yeah, what, I'm going to teach them Hebrew? It's ridiculous. No.
They do what your kids do.
They speak Hebrew among each other.
Learn it.
I'm sorry. Say it again.
We had a taxi cab driver give me a little bit of mussar, of rebuke, and he said, no, you have to speak at home all the time, Hebrew.
Oh,
please. I said, but I don't know it so well. I'm going to teach them wrong. He said,
right.
It doesn't matter.
He's an idiot. No, I disagree with him. He's a moron. You are an English speaker and you are in your 30s, 40s, you're an adult and you're in a foreign country and the children are going to learn first. That's just the way it's going to be.
Right. And I keep telling them, whatever you learn, you have to come home and teach me
yeah.
because there might be teach words me. That
right.
I don't know and you're going
to
know them.
Yes. Yes. And they're going to
so
curse
trying.
Before you and they're going to insult each other. And the cursing, I just laugh. I mean, thank goodness, you know, I learned Hebrew in college. I came to Israel when I was single, and I learned Hebrew. But my husband can't follow. And when I hear them, my children, teenagers today, the way they insult each other, the way they speak to each other, the way they speak to their friends, it is so funny because you don't speak that way in America, you know. You don't do that.
Right.
And they're very rough here. It's hilarious.
Right, right. Lisa, so like my daughter said, she's like, it's not a very pretty language. It's a very ugly, rough language. She's like,
rough.
I don't like to hear it. I was like, well, you're still going to have to learn how to speak it. Sorry.
Right. It's so direct. When I was working, I was single. I worked for import export. I was in charge of import export for a computer company, and I was in charge of the money, the banks, the shipments. And I would call the bank, and I learned on the job. I learned by listening to the way people spoke in the office. And I would call the bank, and Tevilota, Tenliota. And it, what's the translation? Give me her.
Right.
The girl's name was Orly. Give me Orly. Who talks like that? Give me Orly. That's how I talked.
Right.
You know, it's very direct. And your children will come around. I mean, what are their ages? Remind me the ones that are the oldest, the older ones that are having trouble.
The oldest ones are 17 and 15. We've got.
But they're in a, no, they're in an English program, right?
No, they're, well, it's an English program that does 20 hours of Ulpan a week. And then next year they're speaking to them all in Hebrew. They're totally transitioning.
Well, they're not alone though. They're with a program. They're going to be fine.
They're not alone. Correct. And the younger ones are all having birthdays now. We went from odd numbers 7, 9, 11 to 8, 10, 12.
All right. They're still young and they're going to be fine. Aliza, they're going to be fine. They will.
Thank you.
They'll pick it up. They'll pick it up. I mean, your oldest of those three little ones is 11 and 12. She'll pick it up. He'll pick it up. It'll be tough for a little while.
Fifth grade. I mean, I'm imagining middle school. How can you go? I mean, kids in America, they're writing book reports, they're reading novels, and we're sounding out words and not even understanding sentences.
It's okay. Let him at least keep up with his English so he has one strong language. And
we do that at home. We do have that supplementally at home as well.
Okay, so it'll be okay. I mean, socially, it's more important, and that they have friends. That's super important.
Right.
Okay. Aside from that, what do you have to report? What are the struggles you're having? How about that? Let's tackle some of those.
The struggles. So we went to get our licenses converted, right? I need my Israeli license. My American one's only good for 1 year here, and then it expires. And with Israeli bureaucracy, I think it's going to take me about a year to get it. But in reality, it's supposed to actually be easier now to get your license because you don't have to do a test and you don't have to do any lessons. You just go in, you show them your documentation, you print out your license history, and you say, hey, look, I've been a driver since I was 16, and I've had a license for all of these years. Here you go. And then they give you the license, and poof, they convert it. It's very lovely and very magical and great. But that was not my experience. We went into the office, and they said, okay, no good. Go to a lawyer and get them to confirm everything that's written here.
That's ridiculous.
So I said, wait a minute. I even have on the PA Department of Transportation, they even give you languages. They even give you Hebrew. It defines exactly what it says on the license and what it means. And I said, here, it's directly from the website of the state that we received it in. And they said, yeah, that's not enough. Go get a note from a lawyer. So we got the note
ridiculous.
From the lawyer. We go back. Time number two, what happens? No, I'm sorry. Yeah, not a lawyer. You need like a lawyer notary. It's we're going to go a step further. And we're looking at the lady. The lady was going to try to take care of us, it looked like. And then her boss comes over with her hands crossed, looking like, nope, sorry, and like walked away. And that was it. So, of course, I got Nefesh B'Nefesh on the phone because they're my savior. And I'm like, can you deal with this? And so they're trying to talk to Misrad HaRishui, which maybe you know the definition of that, but it's like the head transportation office. And so far, we have no resolution. We have no license. And somebody else said, oh, you know what? Go to a different office. You went here. Go there. Go to the place where they have a lot of Anglos, and it'll be no problem. I said, okay, except they might have already, like, flagged our account. I don't know. I don't know if one office talks to another or if it's in a computer system. But nobody else we've talked to, and even Nefesh B'Nefesh, said this has never happened. Never.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, good. I'm so glad to be your guinea pig. Sure.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I hope that
works out. I think that's great advice to go to a different office. These are all human beings, okay? And it's some offices, they are used to dealing with Anglos, and they're used to these papers. And even if they see something that they need, they know what to do. They know what to do. You know what I mean?
Right.
Okay, do that.
Like,
yeah.
It says C, like class C or whatever is the classification for. They said, oh, we don't know what C means. I said, well, here it is. Here's the definition. It tells you. Yeah. And then, no, sorry.
Ken, it's foreign to them, so they're pretending it's your problem. This is typical.
How many people? I said to the lady, I said, listen, how many people do you have making Aliyah? This makes no sense. You're going to make your lives more difficult. And let me do you a favor and tell you, there's going to be hundreds of people coming to make Aliyah, thousands. And we all have American licenses. And a lot are from Philadelphia and Pennsylvania. This is not so difficult. They all say the same thing.
It
didn't make sense.
There's an expression I'm going to say to you. It's called Rosh Katan. I'm sure you've heard it.
Okay.
Have you heard it?
Yeah. No, but it makes sense.
Yes, it's Rosh Katan, small minds, living only working in the box. And some of these bureaucrats, just like bureaucrats all over the world, are like that. And you just move on and find someone else. Just find someone else and it'll work out. This should be your worst problem, Aliza.
Amen. Nahon?
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, we're about out of time. I don't want to have them cut you off. So I want to wish you a Shabbat Shalom and thank you for coming on the show so often. And I'm going to keep chasing after you because you're a very good example of a pure, 100% American family who came here with no family and struggling. Toda rabah.
My pleasure.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Morris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.